Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And once again, as we think of the people in Ukraine that are suffering so much, and also just this week with Brother Michaels, hopefully you got the email about the Salvation Discipleship books that Brother Michael is giving away over there to Iranians and other Farsi-speaking people, but a lot of Iranians are showing interest in it. So, you know, we look at the nation of Iran as a very evil nation that wants to obliterate Israel from the face of the earth. That's the leadership. But there's a lot of hungry Iranian people that don't agree with Islam, and they're searching for the truth. So, let's pray for them. And Brother Michael appreciated the sacrificial gift to print those booklets to give away. So, when we think of those books and the Ukrainian people, so I'm going to ask if Barry would lead us in prayer, and Brother Tim, if you would then also pray. Let's remember those Iranians and Ukrainians.
Appreciate what they are going through right now, Father, but you know exactly what they're going through. And I pray for your people over there, Father, that place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I just pray, Father, that they would cast all their care upon you at this time. Father, that you would guide and direct each one. Father, that you would encourage each heart, that you protect them. Father, may even during this time, may the light of Christ shine through their lives and other souls. They're in control. They think they're the ones calling the shots. And Father, you're the one that's in control. And I just pray, Father, that they would humble themselves, that they would realize that you are in control. And Father, you've raised these people up. And you've put them down and raised up others, Father. So I pray, Father, that they'd humble themselves, they'd repent, and they'd see their need to place their faith in Christ and rule their country. Themselves and accept Christ as their Savior, Father, that this country would be ruled by your word. Father, I just pray, Father, for Brother Jeremy as he's over there right now and trying to plan. church, Father, that you would bless his efforts and the ministry over there, Father, and you would protect him, keep him and his family safe. And Father, just may your word go forth with power. We thank you that we have this small opportunity to even be a part of it and help him get these booklets printed up, Father, and we thank you for the people over there and their willingness to receive these booklets. And Father, I just pray that lives would be changed as a result. And Father, that many, many people would come to know Christ as their Savior. Father, we just pray that you continue to do a work that only you can. Father, help us to see the need as you see it. Father, help us to love these people as you love them. I just pray, Father, that your will be done, Father, over our will. And I just pray, Father, that you use us in your service in any way you see best, and we be that living sacrifice that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Let's go to Philippians 4. The title of the message this morning is, How Can We Rejoice When the World is Falling Apart? How can we rejoice when the world is falling apart? Philippians 4:4. The Bible says, Rejoice in the Lord, what?
Always.
And again I say, what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord, always. And again I say, rejoice. So how can we rejoice when Mr. Putin has attacked Ukraine and lives are lost, innocent people on the run have lost their homes? How can we rejoice when hundreds of thousands of people are walking across our borders? Where are we going to put them? How are we going to feed them? What jobs are they going to have? How can we rejoice in the Lord when gas prices are rising? Well, one way is, I guess, is it's a convenient time to have your sign broke. I don't know if Meyer's gas sign is broke or if they're just so discouraged they're leaving it off. I don't know. I'm not sure, but you don't see the gas price on their sign. That's one way to do it, I guess. How can we rejoice in the Lord when the supply chain is woefully behind? Maybe it's something you would like and it just can't be had right now. How can we rejoice when Iran is now being allowed to get back at their nuclear program again? And we know the leaders have threatened if they ever get a nuclear bomb, they're going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Well, we know they're not going to wipe Israel off the face of the map because God has plans for Israel. But how can we rejoice when all of these seemingly bad things are happening? Well, let's go to Matthew 2. Let's find out how we can rejoice even when the world seems to be falling apart. Matthew 2. Well, number one, by seeking to worship Jesus, the King. How can we rejoice when the world seems to be falling apart? First of all, by seeking to worship Jesus, the King. Let's go to Matthew 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, what? King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was what? Troubled. So the world is troubled at these spiritual things, but we can rejoice. Herod the king heard these things. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they what? They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down, and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Now, as we back up here, so these wise men came to Jerusalem, and as we see, Jesus was not born in Jerusalem, he was born in Bethlehem. So why did God lead them to this place? Because at Jerusalem is where the word of God was known. If you look in verse 4, when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "Well, king, let us go search this out from the scripture." That's a good question. Is that what they said? No, they knew. Verse 5, and they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is what? Written by the prophet." Where was that written? Well, look in Micah chapter 5. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. It's back there. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. And Micah 5 and verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." Now they stopped there. In Matthew 2, 4, the chief priests and scribes stopped at that point. But what does it go on to say? "Whose goings forth have been from of old," from what?
Everlasting.
You see, they stopped. They knew it was Bethlehem is where the king would be born, but they failed to read the rest of the passage, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting," proving that Jesus is God. There's only one who has always been from everlasting, and that is God. So because they failed in that, if you go back to Matthew 2, and I'm sorry, I should have told you to mark your place there, but so they know immediately where he's born. The wise men alert them, "Hey, we've seen a star in the east." And by the way, in Sunday school, we talked about Balaam. He talked about the prophecy about the star that would rise out of the east of the king. And so that was the prophecy given. Now the wise men see the star. They recognize the prophecy because they're from the east where Balaam was. They recognize that as a sign. They head to find Jesus, but they don't know where. So God leads them to the place where the scriptures are known. And you know the problems we face in our lives. God is trying to bring us to the point to come to the scriptures. God wouldn't allow the wise men to find baby Jesus by signs and wonders or circumstances. Nor will God allow us. Many years ago, I heard about someone that had been proposed to, and they didn't know whether to say yes. And so they said, "Well, if this person calls at a certain time on this evening, I'll say yes." Can you imagine such a thing? Making that important decision based on circumstances like that, I would say that's really foolish. And I don't know how it went. I don't remember on that. But so God doesn't want us to be ruled by circumstances. God wants us to be led by his word. And are we? Are we seeking his will from his word? If you hold your place here, turn me to Romans 12, Romans chapter 12. And verse 1, Romans 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of what?
Your mind.
That ye may what?
Prove
what is that good and acceptable and perfect what?
Will
of God. How do we prove God's will? It's in His Word, being our minds and our hearts transformed by His Word. So back in Matthew 2, God would not let the wise men find Jesus by the star alone. They saw the star. They come to Jerusalem, the wrong place to find the birth of Jesus, but not the wrong place to find the right information. And isn't it also interesting to know, as we pointed out in verse 4, that the chief priests and scribes immediately knew the answer, but isn't it interesting that they don't follow the wise men to Bethlehem? They've got the answer from the Word of God, but they don't follow the Word of God. That reminds me in Psalm 119. If you go there for just a moment. Psalm 119. How much of the Word of God do we know but don't obey? That was the problem of the chief priests and scribes. They knew what the Word of God said, but they weren't seeking or they weren't following it. In Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me what?
Wiser
than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than who?
All my teachers.
Why? It goes on to say, for thy testimonies are what?
My
meditation. I understand more than who?
The
ancients. Why? It tells. Because I what?
Keep
thy precepts. Why is it that the chief priests and scribes knew what the scripture said, but they didn't have enough discernment or wisdom to pack up and head out for Bethlehem? Well, if you see here, the scriptures was not their meditation, verse 99, verse 100. They were not keeping the precepts. Verse 99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. In other words, these are not just facts. The Word of God to me is not just facts, but meditating on it, seeking for wisdom. Lord, what should I do? Teach me through thy word. That's the thought of verse 99. And then verse 100, I understand more than the ancients, more than the old people, because I keep thy precepts. I obey them. You know, it's one thing to know what the Bible says, but it's a totally different thing to do what it says, isn't it? It's a totally different thing. We was talking about before the Sunday school about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There are a lot of people who know that. I mean, there are even football players. There was a college football player that put that in his, I was going to say eye shadow, but I don't think that's called eye shadow. I don't know what you call it, but they put that black spot below their eyes, football players. Maybe even baseball players do it, I don't know. But anyway, and this one college player, he had John 3:16 written in there and the reference until they made a big fuss about it and wouldn't let him do that. But so there's a lot of people in the world that know John 3:16, but how many of them are truly saved? So how much of God's word do we know? How much of it do we follow? So in Matthew chapter 2 here, so the scribe, we do not read anywhere where the scribes and the chief priests go to Bethlehem and follow the wise men. So are we following the Lord? How do we, as the title of the message, how can we rejoice when the world is falling apart? What have we seen so far? Meditate on what? The Word of God. And obey what? The Word of God. The wise men obeyed. They were seeking God. And then they obeyed. So how can we, when the world's falling apart, how can we rejoice? Meditating on the word, obeying the word of God, and then seeking the Lord Jesus. So that's what they did. And then when they got it, rose up to obey and go, verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east did what? Went before them till what? It came and stood over where the young child was. So, circumstances got their attention, the star, but it did not lead them to where they wanted to be, where Jesus was born. So they had to consult the word of God. Now God uses the star to move. So a lot of people say, well, what led the wise men to Christ? Well, most people say, well, the star, of course. Well, you have to say, well, it wasn't just the star, because they end up in Jerusalem, not Bethlehem. But God does use circumstances again after consulting the word of God for direction. So God will use circumstances in our life after consulting his word. He can use circumstances to fine-tune, like the star then moved and went before them. The Bible never says it moved until that point. Headed to Bethlehem, now it moves and stands right over where the young child was. Now it was the time of the taxing, and can you imagine all the people in town? You know, if you knew there was a baby somewhere in Greenville, but you didn't know which house. And just imagine it was Danish festival time and thousands of extra people are in town. How would you find the baby? God used the star to show them then exactly where he was. And then they worshiped him. In verse 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They worshiped him. And then notice verse 12. And being what? Warned of God in a dream that they should not return to who? Herod. They departed into their own country another way. Well, this is like now, you know, we're looking, the world seems to be falling apart because of evil, wicked leaders. The world, they're not going God's way. They're doing their own thing. So how can we rejoice in such a time? Like these wise men, they rejoiced. They were seeking Jesus. Turmoil was everywhere. But they were seeking Jesus. And they found him. But they're warned now not to go back to Herod. Why? Because Herod didn't want to worship him as he claimed. In verse 8, Herod speaking, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and what? Worship him also. That was a lie. What he wanted to do was kill him. That is why God told the wise men to return home another way. So what did Herod do? In verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and what? Slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So we're living in such a day, are we not, where we have evil, wicked leaders who are bent on killing people to get their own way and to expand their own kingdom. Well, are you a little tired of placing your faith and hope in politicians? You know, some politicians even try to keep their word, but are hindered by other politicians who are corrupt, and so they can't really accomplish what they want to do. So instead of trying to seek the perfect politician, we need to seek the Savior. These wise men, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of wicked Herods, found rejoicing. Why? Because they were seeking the King of Kings. Notice with me in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We need to seek the King of Kings today. Then we can rejoice. No, we are not sticking our heads in the sand. We are sticking our heads in the Word of God, the Scripture. We know the outcome of this story. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Right there was the truth. The child is born, Jesus is born in flesh, but the Son is given, the Son of God, the eternal Son is given from heaven. People ask the question, is Mary the mother of Jesus? Of course. Is Jesus God? Yes. So does that make Mary the mother of God? No. Wait a minute. Is Mary the mother of Jesus? Yes. Is Jesus God? Yes. Is Mary the mother of God? No. Wait a minute. Does that make sense? Yes. Verse 6, unto us the child is born. Mary was the mother of Jesus' earthly body, but the Son is given. The Son is given from heaven. Is Mary the mother of the eternal Son of God? No. She's not eternal. She's the mother of that earthly body of flesh. But she's not the mother of God. That Isaiah 9:6 answers that question. And it goes on, it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Why don't people come to Christ now? One day the world, during the millennium, is going to say of Jesus, they're going to call him Wonderful, a wonderful ruler. And then what? Counselor. Wouldn't you love to be able to have a leader of our nation that always knew the right answer? I can remember when the North Korean dictator there early on in President Trump's term, he was shooting off rockets and threatening, you know, to nuke us. And I can remember when President Trump was mocking him on social media saying, well, the button on my desk really works. You know, the one you push to send off bombs. And the news media is having a fit saying, this guy's going to cause a nuclear war. Bantering back and forth with this crazy man. You know, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and he always has the right answer. He's the counselor you can trust. It goes on to say the mighty who? God. Why didn't the scribes and the chief priests see this? Remember, we just saw they knew what the scripture said, but they shortened Micah 5:2. They didn't say the one who's been going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. They left off the part about he's eternal. What about Isaiah 9:6? What did they do with this? It's clearly talking about the King of Kings. The government's going to be upon his shoulder, and it calls him the mighty God and the everlasting what? Father. He's got to be one with the Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Father, and yet he's the Prince. He's the Father, and yet he's the Son. That's interesting, because that's exactly the way it is. Why didn't they see it? Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Why didn't they see this? You know, we can rejoice today, even though it seems like the world is falling apart, even though it seems like America is falling apart. I just pray every day, Lord, please help our leaders to repent and come to Christ and be saved. And if they will not do so, Lord, please remove those leaders and give us some godly leaders who will fear you, who will love you, and who will love Israel and do the right thing. But all this ruling and reigning of Jesus is future. So you might say, well, how is that any different than the people who are always looking to the next election? Oh, I just can't wait till the next election. We've got to do something better the next election. Then how is this any better? Because this is future as well. People are always looking to the future. Well, maybe the next election will be better. And you're saying to me, well, it's all going to be perfect when Jesus comes, but that's future. How can I rejoice today? Well, glad you asked. Let's go to Matthew 6. You know what? We do not have to wait for Jesus to rule and reign from Jerusalem before we can rejoice. Matthew 6:33. It tells us, but seek ye what? First. But seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? This passage is talking about food, clothes, and drink. The times are hard. We may have to run for our lives financially. What if Russia does hack into our power grid? What if the power does go off? How will we survive? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not just the future of Jesus ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. He is going to rule and reign from there for 1,000 years. But now, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We can rejoice because our King is alive and well. Where did he provide manna from? The Bible calls it angels' food. He can provide food from heaven. We need to seek him with all of our hearts. Notice in Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17. We do not have to wait for Jesus to rule and reign from Jerusalem. He can rule and reign right now on the throne of our hearts. Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when what? The kingdom of God should come. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh what? Not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the what? The kingdom of God is where? Within you. The kingdom of God is within you. What does that mean? What that means is God wants everyone to be born again. God wants everyone to see Jesus as the Messiah, the everlasting one, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God wants everyone to recognize now what the scribes and chief priests did not see. They didn't see that Jesus is God. God wants everyone to realize that he came through a miraculous virgin birth, that he lived a perfect sinless life, and then he died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, proving that his payment was enough. He wants everyone to repent, to turn from their sin to him and receive cleansing. That's what he wants the world to do. And then he wants us not to trust in man, but to trust in God. We can rejoice even when the world is falling apart. We can rejoice when Christ sits on the throne of our hearts. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Have you ever seen someone happy when a lot of things were going wrong? Why is that so? Because they're focused on something else. It might be Friday. It might be a terrible Friday. And you might see someone just happy and singing. You may say, what's wrong with you, man? Everything's going wrong. I'm focused on something that I'm going to be doing. And so they're happy. We need to rejoice in Christ our Savior. Doesn't matter if the world's falling apart. If we seek him first, he will take care of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement. And Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, there are many discouraging things happening before us, but we realize from your word that we can rejoice. You have promised to take care of us. We know you're going to rule and reign, and you want to rule and reign in our hearts. And now, Lord, this world is wicked. They're following death and darkness. They're not following you. But, Lord, what about our lives? May the Holy Spirit speak to us. Is there anything in our lives that's keeping us in a bad mood, a discouraged mood. Lord, help us truly that you would rule and reign within. We know you can give the peace of path that's under all understanding. We've experienced it. And Lord, may it be true today in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would.